Hey everybody, welcome to The Perceptive Photographer. This week's podcast is part two of our look at Roland Barthes' Camera Lucida, one of the kind of quintessential theoretical texts of photography. If you listen to the first podcast, you remember that in the first part of Roland's book, he really kind of broke down ways we can think about looking at photography, and kind of the two key tenets out of that was the idea of studium, which is the actual study of the photograph, the minutiae, the details, the structure, kind of the traditional way we think about thinking about photography in a critique, and then punctum, which was the essence of the photograph, the thing that applied pressure, the thing that really resonated with him within the photograph. In the second part of the book, which we're going to kind of focus on for this podcast, he was really delving into what got him to the point of recognizing the photograph, which for him was a photograph required that notion of punctum to be present. Any image that just had studium really didn't exist as a photograph. So in the second part of the book, he really starts to go look at photographs that have that essence. In addition, he starts to think about what is the impact of photography culturally on us as a society and on himself as an individual. I think it's important to remember also that Barthes was a philosopher, really was concerned about language. And so a lot of what he struggles with and talks about in the book delves kind of more along the lines of understanding some of the very subtle shifts in language. And I'll try to point some of those out where I think they're kind of relevant and important. To get him started, what he did was he collected a series of photographs after his mother had passed. And he cared for her while she was ill towards the end of her life before she passed away. And what he was looking for was photographs that really he could recognize his mother. And that was really for him what defined the photograph, was could he look at the photograph and recognize her? And in many cases, he looked at photographs, and while they might appear like his mother, they represented a fragment of her, a part of her. And what he struggled with was this idea that if the photograph is only partially true, it has to be totally false. It doesn't actually really resonate and represent who she was. Part of the reason for that is he believed that history with a lowercase h and history with an uppercase h were two different things. And that history only existed before he was born. So there's this thing that happened before him, and that's where history took place. And what he was struggling with was trying to overlap what his experience was in his own life with history, and that the photographs represented him in that case. The difference between the lowercase h and the uppercase h, which is something that comes up a lot when I work with people on the text and when we read through the text, is that history with a capital H was something he believed was created. And it was created to give us meaning and to attach meaning to certain events, much in the way photography created meaning and established meaning. So there's a subtle difference there where the lowercase h is just kind of what happened in the past. He ultimately finds a photograph titled Winter Garden Photo that gives him what he believes is the first real photograph that he's seen. It's a photograph of his mother as a child. And in that photograph, he sees the person that he took care of as she was dying in her older age, which he referred to as a little girl. It was in that photograph that he actually feel like he truly saw her, because a lot of the other photographs he looked at, he felt like weren't representative of her or didn't realize who she was in the photographs because they had clothing and artifacts and other things that he tried to understand and didn't have a relationship to based on his awareness of his mother. So if you remember in the first podcast, this is really a personal understanding and a personal journey that Barthes on to try to understand what makes a photograph. In that essence of understanding that photograph, what he realized was that a photograph can confirm the past. It can tell us what actually occurred, but it doesn't restore the past. So it doesn't give us any context by which to relive anything. What it does is just confirm that something was there. And he called that noemi, which is basically a translation of that has been. So what photography really did, and what most photographs did in Barthes' understanding, was that they just represented something. They could say for certain that something existed, but they couldn't say anything else about that unless they had this additional notion of punctum. He even said the photograph was more powerful than language in this regard, because while you could describe an event or describe being somewhere, there was no proof of that. And then what a photograph did, and for the first time in history a photograph did, is it was able to authenticate itself as true. It was able to say that if you look at a photograph, that this must be real, because it existed, because it actually happened. That was a pretty significant, I think, breakthrough in his understanding of what differentiated the photographs and what was it about the photographs that made them slightly different, because he had to acknowledge that the photograph as an object existed and that it did represent something. Now, whether or not he connected with that work was completely different, but there was that existence. At the same time, that eventually comes on to become one of the more interesting components of the photograph, when the photograph is a representative of something and then ultimately lays over some level of meaning and has truth applied to it, that becomes a stronger photograph. Where that would come into play is if you have a photograph of yourself and you look at it and say, I was at the Eiffel Tower, and that is a photograph of me. It's that which has occurred in the history, and it is true that that's a photograph of you. So that overlap in the creation of that is really where we start to see photographs take hold and take shape. Something else that I think is really interesting in his analysis and thinking about photographs is that photographs, in a lot of way, became destroyers of memory. They became destroyers of experience because they had this notion of that which has been real or that which has actually occurred. It removed some of your own memory and some of your own experience and some of your own stories. He talks about being on a playground as a child and where you're sharing stories and you talk about how you remember certain smells and certain sounds and the way the room was arranged, and that a photograph actually takes that away. And because of that, he considers photography to be pretty violent and a photograph to be violent. Not because it's containing violent things, but because it puts so much force into the way we see things as being true, that it strips and removes everything else that we could refuse or transform in our own memory and accepting that piece as reality. I think that's a really interesting component of photography that I haven't talked about or hadn't thought about really until I revisited the text, is that how much do we accept the photograph as being real and how much does that jade what we experience? And then how much is that actually shifting today with photography because of Photoshop and some of these ideas of photo manipulation? Are we in the same position of believing the reality of the photograph, and how much is that shifting? So I think we're going to see a fundamental shift in how we talk about photographs and think about photographs. It's a little different than what Barth was dealing with because of the introduction of manipulation at such a broad scale, particularly in the advertising and commercial space, that's caused us to really rethink about how we look at photographs. A couple of other kind of key components I wanted to touch on from the second half of the book, which I think are really kind of interesting, is one is he talked about punctum as a detail early on, and he also brings up this notion of time. And he gives an example of Alexander Gardner has a photograph in 1865 of Louis Paine, who's going to be hung for the attempted assassination of Secretary of State. Barth acknowledges is that the punctum is that you realize that he's dead and going to die. Because of the time element of the photograph, that's what creates the relationship. It's not the elements within the photograph. It's not a detail within the photograph. It's the notion of time. And I think that's something in a lot of photographs that can be that element that we look at that we don't fully understand about why we resonate with a photograph or why we like a photograph, is that we are able to ascribe an understanding because of our understanding of history as a situation that allows us to understand the meaning and significance of a photograph. Something else that he recognized, which I think is really kind of interesting, is the idea of public versus private experiences of photograph. And Barth believed that photographs should be experienced in private, that experience of looking at every photograph should be something that is done in private, because that's when you can identify your own truth. That's when you can actually get into your own experience of looking at the photographs. Which is interesting because we have so much mass media now and so many social media elements where photographs are shared in a broad context, but yet still individually viewed on the device. So I think that's a really interesting element of composition and creation of photographs that still holds true about how we actually look at and experience photographs. It's still a very private element, even though we have such broad-reaching components through social media. Last couple of components I wanted to talk about was this idea of the photograph being a benign lack of depth. Because it is just something that exists and is evidence of something that exists, it doesn't carry a lot of weight. And yet, when we do find something that has an element of the photograph that becomes interesting, one of the things that Barth realized is that there's a link between photography and true real emotion, whether it be love, pity, something like that. And that at its root, we somehow come down to an emotional attachment to that work, an emotional connection to the work, even though we don't necessarily understand where that came from. When we don't understand where it came from, sometimes what that leads us to do is to really heavily scrutinize the photographs, look at the photographs over and over again, try to really get in depth into what the photograph means. And I think a lot of times we probably start with that element, and it might be more interesting to start with that emotional element first. I love this photograph. I experience pity through this photograph. And why do I experience that? Because the questions about technical elements, compositional structures can tell us certain things about a photograph, but understanding how those overlay could become really informative. And I think that's a great point for him. And the last thing I think in the book that's really kind of worth thinking about is what he refers to as the taming of photography by society. And that one, we turn photography into art because art has no madness. It has no insanity. It is allowed to exist outside the bounds of standard societal structure. So that gives a sense of freedom to photography. It's also interesting because it allows it to lose some of its that which has been concept. It allows it to become something more than just the representative object. So that's something we've done as society. The second thing it's done is we've generalized it in order to remove some of that power. So that which has been, if we inundate ourselves with that and we've elevated it through art, we've also created a massive onslaught of photographs and a massive onslaught of imagery to help mitigate that. So there's an interesting duality that comes to that, which he talks about, which I think is a really interesting component of the book. And that's a look at the two parts of Roland's book. I think it's a really quintessential book that everybody should take a look at. At times it might seem a little kind of random, but I definitely think it's worth a read, definitely worth looking at. It's one of the most heavily studied texts, so there's also lots of text out there and lots of help you can get on the internet about understanding Barth's work and different ways to interpret the book, different ways to interpret some of the things he talked about. In terms of applying some of this to your own work, how would you take the text and apply it to your own, I think is a great question. One of the things I really think people should do is to go back and kind of look at their photographs where they do have that experience, where that sense of punctum is there, and try to understand what it is about the image that creates that. I also think in that same way, realizing that that is such an individualized characteristic of the individual looking at the photograph, and to understand that you will probably never create a photograph that is universally appealing because for some people, they just won't resonate with it. At the same time, if you find a photograph that is resonating with people over and over again, beyond the level of it's just a nice looking photograph, it would be worth spending some time to dive in and really understand what is it that they're seeing in the photograph? What is it that they're experiencing in the photograph? And that could probably give you a deeper understanding of your own work. I also think it'd be great to go back and really start to think about what is it for you that makes a photograph? We go back to what Barth really looked at in the second part. Does he recognize her? Does he recognize his mother in the photograph? Not bits of her, not parts of her, but completely experience what he believes she to be in the photograph. And taking that, what is it for you that makes a photograph? What is that one sentence that if you had to define to somebody and say, this is what a photograph is. It's a photograph. A photograph is something where I have recognition. It's something where I have connection. It's something where I have a certain response, whatever it is. But to get clarity around that, I mean, Barth spends 126 some odd pages trying to understand that question, trying to understand what that means to him and why he believes what he believes. I think it'd be worth spending some time for you because I think that would be really, really an interesting element. I think a couple of other things that would be really kind of interesting to play with are the idea of can you ever really photograph a person and show who they are? So I'm going back to that photograph of his mother, how he looked at his own portraits and did he figure out who he was? Can you ever really truly photograph and reveal somebody's personality, reveal who they are in the photograph? And if so, which of your own images have already done that? If your photography is about landscape work, have you found that quintessential essence of what is the real landscape versus just the pretty landscape? How do you dive in? What does that look like? What does that mean for you? I think that would be a really interesting element. One of the other areas that I find really interesting with Barth's work is when he's talking about studium or attention to detail, he discounts the kind of some of what we would think of as the decisive moment elements within the photograph, some of the compositional elements that create the juxtaposition, the elements that make a photograph more interesting as you dive deeper into what those photographs mean and how we interact with those photographs. He says, and I quote, "Hence the detail, which interest me is not, or at least not strictly intentional, and probably must not be so, it occurs in the field of photographed things like a supplement that is once inevitable and delightful," and this is the important part, "it does not necessarily attest to the photographer's art. It only says that the photographer was there. The photographer's second sight does not consist of seeing, but being there." And this is one of the areas where I think would be really interesting as a photographer to go back through and figure out in your own photographs where something's going on in the background, where something's going on in the composition that adds to the photograph, that adds to the intention and meaning of the photograph that Barth would consider a happy accident or this second scene. I personally believe that as you get more and more involved and more educated as a photographer, you're going to be able to see those things in the camera, and being present to those interesting moments and those side parts of the photograph are what makes the photograph more interesting and compelling and allows you to have stronger photographs. So this is a chance for you to go in and really break down what Barth was doing and extend that, because I think Barth was wrong in this case. I think not being a photographer, he's discounting and discrediting the fact that a lot of times in photography, we do have that awareness. The exercise will be to go back through your photographs and find where you did have the awareness of the larger essence of the frame, where those subtle second scene details emerge, and how were you present in those photographs? Did they make for a stronger photograph for you? Or are your photographs more interesting when you also discover, as a viewer of your photographs, those kind of secondary moments, those secondary side effects of the photograph? I hope I've given you a few things to think about and a little bit better understanding of Barth's work. I know it's a pretty thick book, like I said earlier. We will take a look at some other critical theory text in the coming year, some of the kind of more quintessential pieces, and kind of break those down, because I do think it's interesting to really look at what people who aren't photographers have said about photography and how that shapes our understanding of photography, particularly in some of these more philosophical methods. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget you can always find us up on iTunes, or you can find us at www.theperceptivephotographer.com, and I will see you next time.